43. Genesis chapter 43. And I again want to put in a plug for any of you who are interested in personal evangelism. I have been encouraged over the years in sharing my faith with others, and I want to encourage God's people, male or female, young man or young woman who are interested in just having a method, a way of sharing your faith. We're going to be looking at three aspects: how to deal with fear in evangelism. The second is how to approach people. And then the third is when you approach, what do you say? I want to give you a simple method on sharing your faith. And so if you are interested, sign up in the back, and we'll get together and see what time is best for everyone, for those who are interested in signing up. So I want to encourage you to do that. You may not be a door-to-door person or a pulpit person, but God has brought people into your life and into my life whom we can share the gospel with. We sit in doctor's offices. We sit on planes and boats. You come into contact with people every day. And I believe that as Christians, we have been commanded to evangelize and share our faith. And so I want to encourage you to, while I'm here, to take advantage of this opportunity. I want to begin reading from verse 15 of Genesis chapter 43. Verse 15 through verse 17, and then we'll skip down to verse 24 through the rest of the chapter. The Bible says, and the men took that present. This is Jacob's sons. They took a present from their father as they are going back to Egypt. And they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home. And slay, and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bid, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. Verse 24, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the presents against Joseph. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house, and bowed themselves to him, to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare, and said, is your father well? The old man of whom he spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant our father is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother, of whom he spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother, and he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews. For that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the first according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took bread, and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. And they drank and were merry with him. I want to focus on that phrase. The New Living Translation says, and they all feasted and drank freely with him. May we pray. Father, the entrance of your word gives light. And we pray that by your spirit, that you would give light as we share, that you would open the heart of the hearers even tonight, those who might be outside of Christ. And those of us who are inside of Christ, may we rejoice because of where we are in him. Bless your word now. Bring forth fruit for your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So they all feasted and drank freely with him. Come and dine. This is a wonderful picture of this verse 34 of love, forgiveness, and grace. Joseph is sitting, enjoying a meal with the very men who the Bible says hated him. When you turn back to chapter 37 of this very book, the Bible says that when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated and could not speak a peaceable word unto him. The Bible tells us that when Joseph in chapter 37 told them of his dream, that how their sheaves would bow down to his sheaf. Again, the Bible says they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. They hated him so much that when his father sent him to check on them out in the field and they saw him coming, the Bible says one of them said, "Here comes the dreamer. Let's kill him." And because Reuben intervened, he was put in the pit. But they saw an Ishmaelite caravan coming. And someone got the bright idea. Rather than kill our brother, his blood be upon us, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. And the Bible says they did that. And the Ishmaelites took Joseph down into Egypt. And he was sold to Potiphar. And while in Potiphar's house, the Bible says that everything that Joseph put his hand to, God blessed it. So much so that Potiphar recognized this and put Joseph at the head of his home as his butler. But Potiphar's wife took a liking to him. He was a handsome, well-built young man. And each day she threw herself at him. She begged him to come lay with her. And he would refuse. And one day she attacked him. And he ran, and the Bible says she screamed rape, and Potiphar was angry and placed Joseph in prison. And you know the story. The same thing repeated itself. Everything that Joseph put his hand to do, God blessed him. Why? Because God was with him. And the Bible says one day that the chief butler and the baker was put in prison because Pharaoh was angry with them. And they had a dream, and Joseph interpreted their dream that one would be released and the other would be hung. And Joseph said, "Remember me." But it was years later when Pharaoh had a dream that the butler remembered. And he recommended Joseph to Pharaoh. And Joseph came out and interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And because of that interpretation, Pharaoh made him second in command in Egypt. He became a prince of Egypt. He became the viceroy. He became the prime minister. And as a result of his interpretation, famine came. And Joseph's brothers came down into Egypt to buy food. And he saw them. And through various means, he tricking them and going back and forth. And he finally reveals himself to his brothers after a long process. And now, here they are. These men sitting in Joseph's palace. They are sitting in Joseph's house, enjoying a meal with Joseph. The food that they were eating, the Bible tells us in verse 34 of chapter 43, came from his table. The men who rejected him, who laughed at his dreams, who repudiated him, who could not say a kind word to him. But now here they are, sitting at his table, enjoying the goodness of his hand, the blessings having fellowship with him. They were drinking, the Bible says, and were merry with him. They were having fellowship with Joseph. Isn't this a wonderful picture of what has happened to those of us who are Christians? Isn't this a wonderful picture of the fact that there was a time in our lives when we rejected Jesus Christ? It was a time in our lives when we had utter disdain for him, for who he was and what he did for us. But in spite of all of that, Jesus Christ loved us. He reached out to us and he brought us into his banqueting house. And his banner over us is love. And now we can enjoy sweet fellowship with him. We can enjoy all the blessings that the Bible says are his, that are ours through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful demonstration of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. I thank God that God did not give up on me. I thank God that one day I came to know and recognize that Jesus Christ loved me. But maybe you are sitting here tonight and have rejected his offers of grace and love and forgiveness. Maybe you have said by your very actions, maybe by your very words, you have shown disdain for him. Maybe you reject the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. But you need to know, in spite of this, he still wants to bring you into his banqueting house. He still wants you to know that you can enjoy his love in an experiential way. He still wants you to know that you can be forgiven of your sins. He still wants you to know that the grace of God brings salvation even to you tonight. That the mercy of God can be your experience if you but accept it. And so that's all you need to do. And let me look at this passage and dealing with Joseph's brothers. There are three things that enable them to be able to sit at Joseph's table and to drink and to be merry with him, to experience the fellowship with their brother that they had rejected years earlier. And my friend, you could experience Jesus Christ tonight if you but would follow these same three things I'm going to suggest to you tonight. And these are things that may have been, you have heard years, over the years of time. But tonight, we want to present them to you afresh. We want to give you an opportunity to come to the table. We want to give you an opportunity to come to know the Jesus Christ that we know. We want to give you an opportunity to have fellowship with the God of heaven, with the creation of heaven and earth. The Bible says to us in chapter 43 and verse 16 and 17 that when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home, slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade him. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house. What's the first thing you need to do? Accept the invitation to come and dine. These men were traveling a great, they traveled a great distance. They came for a specific purpose. They came to bring their brother Benjamin to demonstrate to Joseph that they were not spies. They came because back home there were people waiting on them with the food they came to purchase. They came to get their brother Dan, who Joseph had kept until they brought Benjamin back. And so they could have said to Joseph, they could have said to his servant, thank you very much. We appreciate your invitation. But we have to get back home. There are people waiting on us with the food that we're going to bring. And besides, we have an aged father back home. We don't know if he's going to live long, so we need to get back home. They could have said that. They could have made that excuse. They could have said, thank you for your invitation, but we need to go. And I don't know about you, but every time and many times I share the gospel and implore people to trust Christ as their Savior, to accept his invitation of forgiveness and grace and mercy, there always is an excuse given. And there are many people are creative. But one of the ones I frequently hear from people is, I know I should trust Christ, but you know, I'm not ready yet. And the question I often ask is, what are you not ready for? What are you not ready to accept? God wants to give you forgiveness. He wants to give you eternal life. And above everything else, He wants you to have an intimate relationship with Him. What are you not ready for? And maybe I'm speaking to an adult here tonight. Maybe that has been your excuse over the years. And maybe as a young person, you've been saying the same thing. I have my life to live. There's so much thing for me to experience. Yes, I know God is calling me. I know there's an invitation to come and know the God of heaven. But I'm not ready yet. These men did not make any excuses. The invitation was given to dine with the prime minister, the second in command of Egypt. Maybe they was afraid to say no. Many men and women, boys and girls, are not afraid to say no to God. Some time ago, I came across this interesting poem that talks about this whole idea of people saying, not yet. The spirit came in childhood and pleaded, let me in. But all the door was bolted by thoughtlessness and sin. I'm too young, the child replied. I will not yield today. Just time enough tomorrow, the spirit went away. Again he came and pleaded in youth's bright and happy hour. He came but heard no answer, for lured by certain power. The youth lay dreaming then and saying, not today. Not till I've tried earth's pleasures, the spirit went away. Again he came in mercy, in manhood's vigorous prime, but still he found no welcome. The merchant had no time. No time for true repentance, no time to think or pray. And so repulsed and saddened, the spirit went away. Once more he called and waited. The man was old and ill, and scarcely heard the whisper. His heart was cold and still. Go lead me when I need thee. I'll call for thee, he cried. Then sinking on his pillow, without a hope, he died. Not yet. Maybe there was a young boy, a young child here tonight. You're saying, not yet. Maybe there's a teenager and you're saying, not yet. Maybe there is an older person, you're saying, not yet. Maybe you are an older person, you are just one step into the grave. As David said, there's a step between me and death, and you are saying, not yet. You can go through the process of saying not yet and one day end up in eternity without Jesus Christ. The invitation is given. These men could have said no to that wonderful invitation, but they did not. But there's a second thing you need to do if you want to experience what these men experience. You must prepare to meet Jesus. Verse 24 tells us, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet. Think about that. They were traveling for days. And you know, in that time, they didn't have cars like we do. But they were traveling through deserts and dusty streets until dust accumulated on them. If they had sandals, they didn't have clothes and shoes like we did. And so they were dusty, they were dirty. And so before they could sit and enjoy fellowship with Joseph, they had to wash the dust from their feet. They had to clean up. They had to prepare themselves. You see, the feet speaks of our walk, how we live our lives. And in order for anyone to come into God's presence, they too must be completely cleansed. Mankind has been defiled by sin. And because you are part of the human family, you have been defiled by sin. The Bible says, therefore, by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have inherited a sinful nature. I have inherited a sinful nature. And because of that nature, we practice sin. But the Bible says, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And if you want to have fellowship with God, you must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross and died in your place and in my place, who took your sins upon him and my sins upon him, who got so that you and I might be cleansed from all unrighteousness. And the Bible says that all we have to do, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Need to prepare. As a brother said to me just yesterday, I think with Brother Willie, in order to be ready, you need to get ready. In order to be prepared, you need to prepare. In order for them to see, get into Joseph's presence and enjoy a fellowship meal with him and dine with him, they had to be cleansed. And so do you. So did I. And that's the only way that you can enjoy fellowship with the God of heaven. You need to have a spiritual bath by the blood of, through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross for you. They had to prepare. And you see, my friend, in order to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ is the third thing we want to leave you with this evening. You must be willing to humble yourself before him. Note verse 26 and 28. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the presents which was in their hands into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. Verse 28. And they answered, "Thy servants, our father is in good health, yet he is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. These brothers who hated him, who had rejected and despised him, are now bowing before him, presenting their gifts. They are now humbling themselves before the one whom the Bible says that they could not speak a kind word to. The one who they had disdained. Here they are, prostrating themselves, humbling themselves before him. Nothing is more humbling than when a man or a woman, boy or girl, come before God and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." There is an acknowledgement when you do that of who God is. That God is the righteous judge of all the earth. He is the master. He is Adonai. And what he has said about you and about me, that he was right, that we are sinners, that we are lost. And when that publican bowed his heart and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," the Lord Jesus says that he went down to his house justified. Because he was willing to humble himself, and because he was willing to humble himself, he was exalted. And because these men, they bowed. Are you willing to bow? Are you willing to say, "Lord, I am a sinner. I have missed the mark. I need you. Forgive me of my sins." And no doubt there are some of you tonight, you are here and you don't know Christ as a young person. You have been taught in Sunday school. You were brought up in Sunday school. You know this. You know this stuff. You have heard it preached over and over. But your problem is you are unwilling to admit that you are a sinner. You're unwilling to humble yourself before God. You're unwilling. And because you're unwilling to do that, you are still on the outside, looking in. You are still lost. And you are still on your way to hell. But you don't have to be. You can come and dine. All you have to do is accept his invitation to come. All you do is prepare yourself. And you do that by humbling yourself before him. And say, "Lord, here I am. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me. I trust your son, Jesus Christ, as my savior." And my friend, you have the privilege, as these men did, to be able to sit in the presence of our Lord Jesus. And you can have sweet fellowship with him. I don't know what Joseph fed his brothers from his table with, but if he was on Spanish Wells, crawfish would have been there. Mutton fish supplied by Brother Gyard would have been there. Grupo would have been there. All of the goodies that you people on Spanish Wells are famous for would have come from that table. All that Joseph had, the very best. But when you come to Jesus Christ, you know what comes from God's table? Forgiveness of sins. God will forgive you of all of your sins. What comes from God's table? You can experience peace with God. There is someone here tonight, you are struggling within your soul. There is no peace. The Bible says there is no peace to the wicked. You can experience the peace of God. Even in the midst of the difficult times, you can know God's peace. There's reconciliation. The Bible says you who were once far off will be brought nigh to God. There'll be justification. You will bear the righteousness of God in your life and in your heart because of Jesus Christ. There is eternal life. There is joy. The choir sang, or someone sang about joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The love of God will be shed abroad in your heart. What else can you want? And that's the spiritual things, beside all of the material blessing that you can get from God's hand. God's presence with you. God's favor on your life. I don't know what people want today. The things of the world is transient, is temporary. But what God offers you is a relationship with himself. God offers you his son. He offers you himself. There's nothing greater. And so if you want to come and enjoy what's at his table, accept the invitation. But if you need to prepare yourself, you need to come to the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And you need to humble your heart before him tonight and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can't make it any clearer than that. As simple as that. Do not procrastinate. Don't put it off. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Come. Come and die. We want to sing in closing 105. 105. I hope this is a familiar hymn here. In the Redemption Songbook. 105. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now. Just now, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus just now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you just now. Just now, he will save you. He will save you just now. 105. May we stand, please. Come to Jesus, come. Only trust him just now. Will you come and dine with him, with the Savior? Are you willing to say, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I trust you to give me eternal life. And I want all that you have for me. I want you, Lord. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to come and dine with the Savior. Is there one here tonight who said, Brother Kevin, I want to do that. I'm not going to reject him anymore. I want to trust him. Is there one? Is there one who will say, Brother Kevin, pray for me. I want to trust Christ. Just lift your hand up and we'll see. Is there one? Don't reject him tonight. Father, we thank you that the entrance of your word gives light. Thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ made it possible so that finite man can have fellowship with the infinite God. That sinful man can cry, Abba Father, to the Holy God. That we who were once far off are being brought nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Father, we pray that you would take these words spoken, though feebly given, and cause it by your Spirit to minister to hearts that need to surrender to him even this evening. We pray for those of us that are your people to rejoice in the blessing of knowing you, having fellowship with you, even around your table. And now, Lord, as we would leave this place with not your presence, go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. As we close, Lord.